It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
We're starting things off with a troubling story from KXLF News 4 out of Butte, Montana. Now, when you think of Southwest Montana, you probably think of great stream fishing for big brown trout and lots of them. However, on the famed Big Hole River, brown trout numbers are plummeting. Annual surveys are done of the trout here, and at their peak, there were up to 1,900 brown trout per river mile. This year, though, that number stands at only 400 brown trout per mile, the lowest number of fish found in this part of the Big Hole River since they started doing these surveys in the late 1970s. The trend has been going on for a few years now, and biologists believed climate change and warming waters was the culprit. However, last summer was mild, and biologists expected to see a rebound this year. Unfortunately, the number of brown trout in the Big Hole continues to fall. Biologists aren't sure why this is happening, and they're even more baffled by the fact that other fish species in the Big Hole River, like rainbow and cutthroat trout, whitefish, and even Arctic grayling, are not declining like the brown trout are. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks biologists are working hard to figure out what's going on so they can come up with a plan to help the brown trout here turn around. Until then, though, the brown trout of the famed Big Hole River are in big trouble. This week on America Outdoors Radio, we've got a special Memorial Day weekend edition featuring several veterans who are enjoying some awesome outdoors adventures on a regular basis. One of them is Allison Rausch. She served as a medic in the Army and is now back home in central Wisconsin, where she enjoys fishing and all sorts of hunting. She's also a writer and blogs at MissPursuit.com, a website meant for the ladies that helps them become skilled in outdoors recreation, whether it be fishing, hunting, or otherwise, so they can venture forth into the woods and onto the water with confidence. Two other veterans we'll talk to today are Allison Garrigus, a Navy Nurse Corps officer, and Sean Govan, a Marine who served as an armor officer. They are putting together an incredible bike ride that started on Wednesday and will likely end towards the end of summer. What are they doing? Sean Govan is the founder of Warrior Expedition, specializing in long-distance adventures for deployed veterans, and Allison, along with four other veterans, are bicycling across America from Washington, D.C. to the Pacific Ocean and the Olympic Rainforest of Washington State. Their route, the Great American Rail Trail, a 3,700-mile rail trail consisting of old rail lines, many of them converted to multi-use trails for hikers, horseback riders, and bicyclists. One other thing to mention this weekend is our Memorial Day Range Day giveaway from Henry Repeating Arms. As we've been mentioning over the last couple of weeks, we're giving away all sorts of swag with Henry logos on it that you can use the next time you're out at the range. If you want to check out exactly what we're giving away, go to our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio, like and follow the page, then look for the post thread where we're doing this giveaway. And if you want to enter, all you have to do is let us know what state you're from on that thread and what station you're listening to. Matter of fact, if you let us know the station, you're getting a bonus entry. We'll draw one winner on Memorial Day who's going to win this great Range Day package from Henry Repeating Arms. And if you want to see more accessories from Henry, just go to their website at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com. All sorts of great made in America lever action firearms and accessories. And don't forget to ask for your free catalog and decals too at henryusa.com. Memorial Day is also the unofficial kickoff to the camping season, and that means you are going to be spending some time around the campfire and maybe cooking over that campfire too. That's why Ryan Neely with Camp Chef is back with some great suggestions about meals and desserts you can make over the campfire that will taste a whole lot better than those burnt hot dogs you're used to roasting on sticks. Our first guest today is located at Long Island, New York. Her name is Kristen Fraunhofer. She is the president of CETO Services International. We thought with Memorial Day weekend here and the unofficial start of boating season going with it, this would be a great time to get her on the line. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, John. I appreciate it.
So, Kristen, I've got to ask, you know, with the COVID pandemic, so many people are getting outdoors. And is it my imagination or are there a whole bunch more boaters on the water, too?
It is not your imagination. There are definitely more boaters on the water than probably ever before as boat sales are up and people are taking to the water to enjoy time with family and friends.
Boat sales are not only up. I've actually been in the market looking for a bass boat. It's almost impossible to find a new boat at a dealership at this point. Just about everything is a 6 to 8 week or longer wait at this point. That's how much the demand is. Now, you did a survey of your membership, and it revealed some very interesting statistics. Why don't you share some of those with our listeners?
Absolutely. You know, we wanted to check in with our members again this year as active boaters to say, you know, now that we're hopefully coming out of the pandemic, how is that going to impact your boating habits this summer? And we still see that, you know, 52% of the boaters we surveyed said they still anticipate their boating activity to increase this summer, even compared to last.
Wow.
And 20% of them said that they do cite the pandemic as the reason that they're getting out on the water and extending their boating season, getting their boats in the water as early as possible in colder areas and leaving them in longer, which I thought was really interesting. And the other one I thought was really interesting was that, you know, 24% of people said they plan to vacation by or on boat versus other forms of travel. So even with travel opening up nationwide, hotels opening, people are still staying closer to home and plan to use their boats to get out there and enjoy some time off.
Interesting. And I suppose this is kind of the same thing as why we saw RV sales going up, because you can have that self-contained family or group vacation and you're not exposing yourself to others. It's just strange to me that as we emerge from the pandemic, people are still feeling that way, whether it's RVs or boats.
I hadn't thought that way a little bit, but then I started realizing that people got to experience this last year and it sort of brought back even more passion. People have always been passionate about boating and just like you said, you know, RVing and getting outside. But I think it sparked something in people to say, wow, I really miss this and I want to do it more. And they're even more passionate than they were before. And it reminded them what a great experience it is to get out on the water. You know, your blood pressure goes down. You spend quality time with your kids. They're not on their electronics all the time. Hopefully this trend will continue that people will be out more and using their boats more.
Kristen, as you say this, literally your voice is fading in the background and I'm transporting myself to my favorite lake as we speak, but I better get back on task
here. Exactly. I know. It's so nice just to be out on the water and it's amazing. It's so relaxing.
All right. Let's change topics real quick. Sea Tow Services International, what's your organization all about?
Sure. Well, we are basically your road service at sea. So we were founded actually back in 1983 by my father, Captain Joe Fraunhofer, and we're the yellow boats on the water servicing people should the unexpected happen. So whether someone, you know, needs a battery jump or their engine unexpectedly dies or they run aground, you can just give Sea Tow a call. And if you're a member, the services will be free. If you're not a member, there's an hourly charge, but we're there to help. And we do operate throughout the entire United States, as well as Puerto Rico and all the way up to Alaska as well. You know, just standing by to help people out while they're out there boating should the unexpected happen.
Oh, that's fantastic. Question for you. Over here where I live in the Pacific Northwest and also in the Northeast, a lot of boaters are venturing north across the Canadian border. At least they will be once that opens up again. Do Sea Tow Services also operate there?
We do not currently have a presence of our boats on the ground in Canada. However, should a Sea Tow member be boating in those areas and need assistance, they still just give us a call at our 800 number. We'll help arrange for assistance and we reimburse them up to $5,000 per incident.
Oh, this sounds fantastic. How much does a membership to Sea Tow Services cost?
Well, if you are a salt and freshwater boater, our membership, gold card membership is $179 a year. If you boat solely on freshwater, you're that lake boater, like you said, heading to the lake, our lake card membership is $119 a year. And both of them provide service for every boat the member owns, anyone operating those, as well as any boat that member might charter, rent, lease, or borrow.
Well, sounds great. Sounds like you are the triple A of boating. I know you're not allowed to say that, but I can. And folks, sounds like Sea Tow Services International might be worth checking out. If you own a boat, whether you're boating in the freshwater or especially in the saltwater, that price is a very small investment for a lot of peace of mind and help when you need it. What's the website folks should go to, Kristen?
Seatow.com, SEATOW.com.
Seatow.com, that's the place to go, folks. If you've got a boat, you better check that out. Kristen, thanks so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might get away.
A sharp blade makes short work of any project you have in the outdoors, in the kitchen, or in the shop. Hone your knives and tools with quality power and manual sharpeners from Worksharp. Find out more at WorksharpTools.com.
Welcome back to this Memorial Day weekend edition of America Outdoors Radio. We've got Allison Rausch on the line. She is a contributor at MissPursuit.com. She's a 23-year-old woman from central Wisconsin. She loves to fish, hunt, and try out new ways to hunt as well. Now, Allie, like I said, is a contributor to Miss Pursuit. We'll tell you more about that in just a minute. And she also serves in the military, and that's one of the reasons we've got her on this Memorial Day weekend. Allie, welcome to the show, and thanks for your service.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your service, exactly where you serve and what you do?
So I was an Army medic in the Army Reserves here in Wisconsin. I spent some time in Kuwait, and while I was over there, I also went over to Egypt for a little bit, working in an emergency room, just taking care of soldiers on base and contractors. And last year, actually, when COVID started, I was mobilized with my unit to New Jersey to help take care of people in the COVID ICU. And that was a really neat experience. I've been in for about 7 years now. Currently, I'm in the inactive reserves because I would love to finish my nursing degree somewhat on time and get that ball rolling. But the Army has definitely given me some interesting opportunities, and I've seen a lot and learned a lot, and I'm grateful for every minute of it.
Well, it certainly sounds like you have, and we're grateful for your service. It's hard to find people that are willing to serve these days, so thank you for stepping up. Let's go ahead and talk about fishing and hunting. I know you love to do both. How were you introduced to these sports?
My dad, when I was really little, I kind of grew up more of a bird hunter than anything. My dad spent more of his time duck hunting than like deer hunting or anything like that, even though he did it. But it was easier for my sister and I to tag along on duck hunts or pheasant hunts. And I just kind of fell in love with it. I enjoyed the excitement. I just liked being in the outdoors, you know, even at the age when I couldn't shoot yet, just following my dad around, you know, carrying the birds for him. It was really neat to me. And then as I got older, I kind of just got more interested. And I actually found an old bow in my parents' basement. And, you know, I asked him, can I start using it? And we got the bow all checked out and it was safe to use. And I kind of got into archery before I actually really got into rifle hunting. But I've just kind of been building on my skills every year and looking for something new to do. I just like to challenge myself. I feel like if you're not challenging yourself, you're not really growing and you're not getting the full potential out of the sport that you could be. And then a little while after I started deer hunting, I met my boyfriend now who introduced me to hound hunting, bear hunting with hounds. And again, it was kind of like the first time I went out in the woods with them. I just fell in love just listening to the dogs, and it's so fast-paced, and now I just kind of do a little bit of everything. I'm never bored throughout the year because there's always a season, either hunting or fishing, that I'm into. I'm ice fishing more so than open water fishing.
Right.
But I still like to do both, and I just like to try some new things out every single year.
You are a woman after my heart. I'll tell you what, I absolutely love this story, and I hope there's a million more Allies like you out there that there will be soon. Let's talk a little bit about MissPursuit.com. What exactly is it, and how did you get involved?
So MissPursuit.com is a place where anyone can go, but especially women who are interested in the outdoors. It doesn't have to be just hunting or fishing, but maybe wanting to learn to kind of be a provider as far as harvesting things from the outdoors or getting into more camping, hiking, all those kinds of outdoor activities. Carly's owner had actually reached out to me, I think it's like 2 years now, and she was really interested in my content on my page and thought I would be a good suit to kind of share my expertise. And since then, she's rounded up a group of amazing women who all have something to offer. And we all have very different areas of expertise where we write blogs about it and how we do what we do or how to start doing what we do and post them and hope that it inspires other women to get into different outdoor activities.
I think it's great. Now, women are probably the fastest growing segment in the outdoors right now, especially when it comes to fishing and hunting. And you kind of came about it the traditional way. You had a mentor, it was your father, and then you've had a mentor in terms of your boyfriend to introduce you to other aspects. But there's women out there who have fathers who don't hunt or were just raised by a mother who doesn't fish or hunt and maybe don't have a mentor. They have a boyfriend who doesn't fish and hunt, which clearly I think you and I can agree they need to ditch for one who does. So what does a woman do who doesn't have a mentor? How do they get into the sport that you and I both love?
You know, as much as people like to rip on social media, and I mean, there's a lot of negative things associated with it, since I have set up my public Instagram account, which is open to everything hunting and fishing, I have met some incredible women who have either just recently gotten to any type of outdoor sport or some that aren't into outdoor sports at all, but they actually reach out to me and want to learn, you know, how to do it. So I can kind of tell them somewhere to start. Or I've seen a lot of people on social media, you know, it says right in their bio, you know, I'm a rookie to hunting, follow me on my journey. So I think what it really takes, more so than just having a mentor, is just that desire to actually want to go, you know, head first into all these sports and not be afraid to hold back. And, you know, sometimes you might be judged, but I mean, that's just the nature of the sport. No matter if you're man, woman, whatever it may be, I mean, someone's always going to judge the way you do something. But I think if more women feel comfortable reaching out to someone doing something, you know, that they want to do and just not being afraid to take no for an answer, you know, we could have a lot more people into the outdoors. And it goes the other way, too. People that are in the outdoors just being more open to inviting people to come out with you or educating. I mean, it's really a two-way street as far as that goes.
I agree. What's your feeling on organizations like Becoming an Outdoors Woman, which operates in quite a few states and has workshops and events that develop skills for women, or groups like Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, which are pretty inclusive, and when you go to their rendezvous, they have lots of seminars and demonstrations, and also focus on getting women and people of different ethnicities out in the outdoors that are underserved.
I think it's an amazing idea. It's an amazing effort. And again, it gives those people who might have done nothing in the outdoors ever before kind of that in to be in a group situation where, you know, no one necessarily knows what they're doing or everyone's learning something for the first time. And I think it just brings a whole nother level of comfort to getting people involved.
Well, you certainly are definitely comfortable in the outdoors. I love your attitude of being willing to try new things. It's definitely paying off. And I've read some of your stuff on MissPursuit.com. You're a great writer, and there's lots of other great articles there too, folks. Again, the website to go to if you are a woman and you want to get into fishing, hunting, the outdoors, MissPursuit.com is a wonderful resource for you. And reach out to people like Allie. They will help mentor you. They will give you some suggestions on groups to join, places to go, ways to learn, ways to get comfortable in the outdoors. Come out. Come play. Come enjoy. It's a lot of fun out here. Allie, thanks for being an ambassador, and thanks for joining us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope people reach out to me. I love teaching, so don't hesitate to send me a private message or whatever it may be.
Oh, and I guess we should ask one more thing, Allie. What is your Instagram page or Facebook page where they can reach out to you?
And the only public social media I have is Instagram, and it's at Woman of the North Woods.
All right, at Woman of the North Woods, that is Allie on Instagram. If you're a woman and want to reach out, she is willing to help. Thanks again, Allie.
Thanks.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com.
You're back in with our special Memorial Day weekend edition of America Outdoors Radio, and I want to introduce you to a couple of veterans who are doing something very ambitious indeed. There's actually five veterans that are banding together to bike the Great American Rail Trail. Now, this is a 3,700-mile-long transcontinental trail, much like the old transcontinental rail line that you heard about in school that was built in the 1860s, reaching across the United States. Now, these veterans, they started on Wednesday in Washington, D.C., and they're going to end at La Push, way out on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State, where the rainforest meets the Pacific Ocean. We've got two of these veterans here today. One of them is Sean Gobin. He's a United States Marine Corps veteran who served 12 years as an infantry rifleman and armor officer. And after returning home from deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, he hiked the Appalachian Trail. In 2013, he founded Warrior Expeditions, the organization behind this journey. Our other guest, Allison Garrigus. She is a participant on the ride. She's from Greenville, South Carolina. She served in the United States Navy as a Nurse Corps officer from 1988 to 2009 and was deployed to Iraq. Sean, Allison, welcome to the show, and thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you very much for having us.
Sean, we're going to start off with you. You have founded this organization called Warrior Expeditions, and I guess that kind of explains to some degree how this ride is coming about, but how did you even come up with this concept, and how did you find the veterans to do this ride?
So it all started with coming back after my third combat deployment. I had two to Iraq and one to Afghanistan. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I thru-hiked all 2,185 miles of the Appalachian Trail. What started off as a bucket list item turned into a life-changing therapeutic event. And so I figured this could be helpful to other veterans returning home from the wars. And so I founded Warrior Expeditions, which is a veteran outdoor therapy program designed to help veterans transition from their wartime experiences by doing long-distance outdoor expeditions. And so we've got three programs, our Warrior Hike, our Warrior Bike, and our Warrior Paddle programs. We started the Warrior Bike program in 2016 on the Transamerica Trail. But the Transamerica Trail is all on roads with traffic. And so we were looking for a route that had a little bit less traffic. And so then we learned about the Great American Rail Trail. And this year we are prototyping the Great American Rail Trail as our first time part of our Warrior Bike program. And of the five veterans we've chosen, three of them are former Warrior Expedition participants that have volunteered to be guinea pigs and to try this route out with us. And then two others are brand new veterans that reached out and applied to our programs. And so we'll have a total of five veterans biking the entire route this summer.
That is just amazing. Allison, how did you find out about this and get involved?
I hiked the Appalachian Trail in 2019 with War Expeditions. I had applied, and once again, it was a bucket list dream item. So I hiked and got familiar with the War Expedition program. I was at the reunion hike they have each year, and I heard more information about the Great American Rail Trail bike program and asked some questions. My interest was piqued, and I spoke to the staff and once again applied or was invited in combination to come back and participate and play Lewis and Clark kind of and get to meet some people along the way and provide support for the following years. And hopefully they'll be able to continue this route in the future.
Well, this is going to be an absolutely amazing expedition. Rail trails, folks, if you're not aware, they're converted rail lines, and they've been converted to multi-use for hikers, for bicyclists, in some cases for equestrian use too. And this Great American Rail Trail, it was proposed a couple of years ago, but there's huge gaps. I mean, there probably is well over 1,000, if not 1,500 miles of rail trails, but I mean, the entire state of Wyoming lacks any rail trails in it for the most part, and there's other gaps too. So the question is, and this one's for you, Sean, when you're planning this, where do the bicyclists go if there's no rail trail to follow?
Sure. So first off, I'd like to thank the Rail Trail Conservancy for providing us with the GIS data for the rail trail section. And so that's how I first mapped out the first phase of this route. Once I had those sections, I went on Google Maps and I basically connected the end of one rail trail to the beginning of the next rail trail and asked Google Maps to give me the best bicycle route to get there.
Got it.
So we took the Google recommended bicycle routes from point A to point B and we stitched the whole thing together. And so now we've got a complete 3,700 plus mile route from Washington, D.C. to the Olympia National Park.
Incredible. Allison, question for you. How long do you expect this to take?
I think 3 months for myself, maybe 3.5. I'm pretty slow and steady. And I think War Expeditions was guessing about 2.5 to 3 months. So I think I'm on par thinking about 3, maybe in a couple weeks, depending on the weather and the elements. But my ability, I usually go slow and steady. Nothing is ever fast.
Well, the older we get, that's the way it is with most of us, I think. How many miles, give or take, are you going to be covering a day?
We're guessing a minimum of 50. And I know after getting in better shape over the first couple of weeks, we'll probably extend our ride, especially in the plain state with the flat terrain. But that's just a guess. We may be surprised, but I definitely plan to do 50 a day.
So, Sean, you're putting this all together. The logistics are going to be very interesting. How are you going to sustain this group of five veterans along the way?
That's a great question. So they're going to be self-sustained. Their bikes are gravel grinder bikes with Panera racks. And so they're going to carry all of their food and water and camping supplies with them, and they're going to camp along the way. But we do have community supporters located along the route. So every about 3 to 5 days or so, as they cross through towns along the trail, we have community supporters on standby that'll pick them up off the trail and take them home, give them a place to stay, get a shower, do some laundry, get a big meal, and then put them back on the trail the next day. So yeah, it'll be a combination of camping and community support along the way.
Interesting. So there's not going to be like a support truck or support van following along and setting up camp for them and cooking food for them. They are entirely self-sustaining except for these community supporters. Is that right?
That's correct.
Interesting. Very interesting indeed. Now, I know when you do long distance hiking that you often will mail yourself supplies that you can pick up, whether it's on the Pacific Crest Trail or the Appalachian Trail at certain places. Same concept here for the biking on these rail trails, or is it just you're going to stop off in towns and get what you need?
I anticipate stopping off in town. When you mail boxes ahead, sometimes you just mail things that you can get locally. So I just plan to plan ahead and purchase things along the way.
Now, Allison, do you know these other veterans you're going to be making this ride with? Because one thing, obviously, is the physical aspect. The other thing is the psychological aspect. This is 3 months. You're going to be in very close quarters with four other people. I mean, do you have a relationship with them already?
Actually, one I know very well happens to be my husband.
And well, that's good.
Be our first, our first rail-to-trail bike ride together. We are planning, you know, to kind of ride together but separate. And the other participants, we've been on email and text, getting to know each other a little bit over time. And this trip was canceled last year due to COVID. So unfortunately, and fortunately, we had to wait a year. And it gave me some more experience on the bike because I was not a cyclist per se. And so as far as the relationships go, no, you basically put strangers together and we became one family, good, bad, and ugly. And actually, the camaraderie is unbelievable. At this age, you meet and form relationships that are very important in these types of situations. So I look forward to making some new friends and having a new trail family of sorts.
I absolutely love this adventure. Last question for you, Sean, is this. How can folks follow the progress of this adventure?
Sure. So they can go to warriorexpeditions.org, which is our website, and then we have links to our social media platforms from the website, and so they can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We'll be posting pictures and stories along the way, and so that's a great way they can follow the veterans, and if they'd like to support the organization, you can support Warrior Expeditions from the website, and more importantly, if you would like to support the Rail to Trail Conservancy's effort to make the Great American Rail Trail one continuous path, please go to their website and donate and help them get the resources they need to connect this trail.
And that website, folks, is greatamericanrailtrail.org or railstotrails.org for the Rails to Trails Conservancy. Again, greatamericanrailtrail.org. And again, check out Warrior Expeditions and some of the other long-range expeditions they are offering to veterans. Sounds like an incredible organization you've got there. Sean, Allison, thanks for sharing this, and good luck with the journey.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at campchef.com. That's campchef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand public access to the outdoors. Our outdoor heritage depends on sportsmen and women like you speaking up for the natural resources that sustain our way of life. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org and become a BHA member today.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Hey, how'd the meeting go with Tommy's school counselor today?
Well, not exactly as planned. I think we need help.
Help? Why do we need help?
Well, I asked her about paying for college, and she said that's not something they do.
Maybe it is time to get some help. Even if Tommy just goes to state college, it's going to cost at least $25,000 a year. We'll have to raid our retirement and pay for Tommy's tuition. There's got to be a better way.
There is a better way. A way where you can pay less for college. Or even receive college tuition free, regardless of your income or your students' grades. A way for you to keep your hard-earned income and savings for your future and spend less on college, while virtually eliminating the need for student loans. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org. That's tuitionprograms.org. tuitionprograms.org. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial kickoff to the summer camping season, is right around the corner. You may be planning a camping trip for Memorial Day weekend. That means you're going to be spending some time around the fire, and of course, good food has to be part of this. So, with us here to help you out with that is Ryan Neely, the marketing manager for Camp Chef. Ryan, great to have you back.
Thanks, John. It's always good to join your show.
So, Ryan, last time we talked, we were talking about car camping and making some good food while you're doing that in campgrounds. This time, let's talk about having fun making some food right over the campfire. And, you know, one item that I've had from Camp Chef that is a lot of fun to play with are these rounds. So they're aluminum or they're iron. They're on a stick. You open them up, you put stuff in there, and you close it and hold it over the fire. What sort of things do you like to make in those?
Those are fun. I mean, think of, there's a lot of different sandwiches that you could do too. You know, I mean, you name it, like a ham and cheese sandwich, or, you know, you can throw peppers and other things in there. You can get really elaborate with it if you want and just do that over the fire. Another great thing is more like, you know, you can either make your own dough or bring like a Pillsbury type dough and do like croissant type sandwiches and bake those over the fire, or, you know, calzone type things. The other one that's really popular are dessert style ones. So, you know, make a pie filling, an apple pie, a berry pie type thing. And then you open it up and you got this warm, like hot pocket type thing, either dessert, sweet or savory.
I am so going to try that the next time I'm out camping with the fam. All right. Something else we need to talk about. A lot of folks definitely associate this with cooking over the fire, Dutch oven cooking. But a lot of folks are intimidated by Dutch oven cooking. And I think the first thing they're intimidated by is how to season it, or do you season it, and how do you clean it? Because I think most folks know you don't put dishwashing detergent in it, but a lot of folks are like, well, how do I keep this thing clean and ready to go?
Yeah, we've got some good resources. You know, you could just search Camp Chef cleaning cast iron. You know, you can keep it pretty simple. You know, I've even seen some guys when you're out in the woods and out camping, they'll just go to the riverbank and use a really light sand or light gravel or whatever and do that. Now, seasoning it too is important, and keep it well seasoning. But like anything, as you use it, it will continue to build up that seasoning, and that's what you want. You know, and there's a lot of online resources. You can spend a few minutes and find those. But on the cooking side, you know, I can see why it would be a little bit intimidating. It's more of like an art,
right,
when you're doing a lot of this, but it's great. And the food can be fantastic, and it can be very simple and easy as long as you take that approach to it.
So you're going to need some charcoal briquettes, by and large, because you're going to want to put them on top of the Dutch oven, folks, and of course have some below that. But here's a question. Do you have to cook it that way, or can you literally just dangle it over the fire and cook, or even put it in the coals?
Yeah, you can just hold it over the fire with a Dutch oven holder like a tripod, or you can just stick it straight in the coals. Your challenge there is every wood's going to burn different. Every fire's going to burn different. So temperature regulation is going to be a little bit more of a challenge. That's kind of why I say it's more of an art,
right,
to that cooking. If you are using briquettes, one of the tips that I always give or use is plus one, minus one. So that means if you're using, for example, a 12-inch Dutch oven, you do plus one. So 12 plus one is 13. So on top, you do 13 briquettes on top. And then minus one, so 12 minus one is 11, do 11 briquettes on the bottom. So plus one, minus one, you always have more on top since heat rises. And what that does is that'll hold, you know, the theory is around 350 degrees for most baking things. Anyway, plus one, minus one when you're cooking with briquettes, and that's a great way to start.
I love that. Amazed. I've never heard of that before, but I absolutely love that rule.
Yeah.
Easy to remember. All right. You do a lot of Dutch oven cooking. You do a lot of just outdoors cooking, period. I'm going to pin you down to this. Your favorite Dutch oven recipe that's an easy one for folks to do Memorial Day weekend for both dinner and dessert?
Oh, dinner and I was going to say cobbler. I'm going to say cobbler for dinner and dessert because I love cobbler. Peach cobbler comes September when peaches are in season. That's definitely my go-to. There's a lot of options. If you talk to my wife, she'll get elaborate with it. But you can do a simple dump cobbler where you literally dump the peaches in. You get a soda like a 7-Up or a Sprite, dump that in, and then dump like a baking mix on top of that, cake
right.
mix. Let it do its thing. It's a great, easy cobbler. And then obviously you get more elaborate after that. You know, for dinner, there's so many different things. I'm always a fan of barbecue chicken, but, you know, artisan breads are another one of my favorite things. That's more of a baked good. There's a lot of, so many things you can do in a Dutch oven.
Well, and the great thing, too, is that you have tons of recipes at campchef.com, not just for grilling like people expect, but you've got a whole bunch of Dutch oven recipes, too, don't you?
Yeah, there's a handful there, not as many as the grilling side, but there's definitely a handful of Dutch oven recipes.
One other thing we should talk about is the fact that it's been a dry spring, and that means it's going to probably be a dry summer, and that means we're going to have fire restrictions, and some of those campfires might not be allowed even as early as Memorial Day in some places. So what is a camper to do who wants to roast some marshmallows or use those cooking rounds over a fire?
Yeah, you know, I really hope those fire restrictions don't happen, but it's dry here in Utah right now. We have some awesome gas fire pits. You hook them to just a bulk-style propane tank. We use ours all the time, and they're great. You know, check your local fire restrictions before you use these.
Right.
But more than likely, they are approved to use in your area. But they're awesome. You know, I love hanging around the campfire late at night, telling stories, whatever, and they're great for that. And then, you know, when you crawl in your sleeping bag late at night, whether you like it or not, you know, you don't smell like a campfire. So they're great and awesome. So check those out. You can see them at campchef.com or, you know, any of our sporting goods stores or retailers in your area.
And you're going to find Camp Chef products all over the place, folks, whether it's the big box stores like Sportsman's Warehouse and Dick's Sporting Goods, whether it's your local ranch and home or sporting goods store, they're probably going to have plenty of Camp Chef products, but there's lots of demand, so you better hurry up and get some of this stuff now, especially if you want to enjoy it during the Memorial Day weekend, which, like we said, is the unofficial start of camping season this summer. And I hope you're going to do a lot of camping and do a lot of cooking over the campfire and have some fun. Ryan, thanks for helping our listeners do just that on America Outdoors Radio.
All right, we'll see you out there, John.
If you're going camping, one thing you'll definitely need is a sharp knife, maybe a sharp axe or hatchet too, and you'll need something to sharpen those knives and hatchets with. That's where WorkSharp Products comes in. They make knife and tool sharpeners, both electric and manual, and you'll want to have the manual ones if you're out camping this weekend. That might be the pocket knife sharpener. As you might imagine, it fits right in your pocket. Take it anywhere you go. Or my personal favorite, the guided field knife sharpener. I've got one in my office. I've got one in my glove box. And whenever I need to sharpen something, it's there. Fits right in the palm of your hands, and those guides on the sharpener, 20 degree guides, they give you a sharp edge every single time. Look for knife sharpeners from WorkSharp at sporting goods stores or hardware stores or ranch and home stores near you, or online anytime at WorkSharpTools.com. As we wrap things up today, I'd like to remind you one last time about our Memorial Day Range Day giveaway from Henry Repeating Arms. We're giving away all sorts of handy accessories for the range, and just about all of it has Henry logos on it. They look fantastic. And if you don't own a Henry lever-action rifle yet, you'll want to after you get all of this swag. But even if you don't, it's going to come in handy for the range or just plinking with the 22 in the back 40. All you have to do to enter for a chance to win, and we are giving this away on Memorial Day, is go to our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio, like and follow the Facebook page, not the post, the page itself. That's step number one. Then go to the post where we've got this contest and let us know two things for two entries. Entry number one, what state do you live in? Entry number two, what station are you listening to right now? That's all there is to it. And like I said, we will draw on Memorial Day, and somebody is going to win all sorts of great swag they can use the next time they go to the range. And they'll win it courtesy of Henry Repeating Arms. If you want to see more accessories and, of course, the great Made in America firearms that Henry Repeating Arms makes, go to their website. You'll find it at henryusa.com. And don't forget to ask for that free catalog and decals when you do. The website again, henryusa.com, and the Facebook page for the giveaway, America Outdoors Radio. Please like and follow it and enter this weekend before we draw on Monday. Here's hoping you are enjoying your Memorial Day weekend, whether you're boating or camping or maybe taking part in an event to remember those who have fallen in service of our country. And if you see a veteran out and about this weekend, make it a point to thank them. They deserve that and a whole lot more. Here's hoping you have a wonderful three-day weekend, that it's full of lots of time outside and maybe some adventures or maybe just some relaxing. Here's hoping you're blessed as well. And until next time, do remember this. It is your country and your outdoors. So get out there and enjoy it.